Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Makas Dafav. We begin right on top with the words Amar Rabbi Yossi, actually right in the middle of a Mishnah, which began with a pasuk, Al Pishnei Edim, Oy Al Pishleisha Edim Yokum Dover. The team of witnesses can be comprised of either two members or three members. Now, if two is sufficient, why would the pasuk even refer to a three-member team? Why is that necessary? So we had several explanations, the most recent of which was that there is a connection between two and three, to indicate just like when there is a two-member team, one of which becomes disqualified, then there's no edus, because two is a minimum. Likewise, even a three-member team, whose one of its members was disqualified for some reason, he's a karev, a pasul, the whole team is gone, it's one entity, and the whole thing becomes unraveled. Continues the Mishnah, but when? Amar Biesi, this concept that you cancel the entire, they disqualify the entire three-member team on account of one deficient member, when is that to be said? Regarding litigations pertaining to capital punishments. Rashi explains on the top line, the Torah mandates that we seek to exonerate the victim, the person on trial. We try to find a zechus. Umhadrinon azechusa, says Rashi. So if there's any sort of mitigating factor, any way out, such as one member disqualifying the rest, we apply it when we exonerate him. Aval bedine mamnas, but pertaining to monetary litigations, there's no din of vihitzilu ha'eda. After all, saving this one from payment deprives the other one of his money. So basically, either way, you're getting somebody, you're hurting somebody. So in any case, there's no din of vihitzilu ha'eda. Aval bedine mamnas. Even if one member is disqualified, that's okay. So discount him and tap into the two remaining members of the team. So you have a kosher edus. Rabbi Yoimer, no, doesn't matter whether it's dine nefashos, dine mamonos. It's a prevailing concept throughout all the cases of edus. Echadine, right? So it doesn't matter. Either way, Rabbi Yoimer, echadine mamonos vechadine nefashos. You just cancel the whole deal. It's one team. If one is pasul, the rest is pasul. But according to Rebbe, there is another limiting factor. When is this true? That one member affects the rest. Bizman shehisru behen. When the problematic member of the team showed a personal interest in getting involved, and being present as a witness. In fact, he actually went and warned the perpetrator in advance of, you know, his act. Then this individual, the aide, is an active player. He must be included in the equation. You can't just discount him. And his disqualification affects the rest of the team. But if they didn't personally get involved, they were just bystanders, were just watching. They didn't actually take an interest and warn the person in the act not to do what he's going to do. So in that case, their lack of involvement indicates a disinterest, a lack of intention to be present as official witnesses. So then we could just discount this person. Because look, here's a classic example. Ma yasu shnei achen. Shero, what do you want from two brothers who happen to be standing street side and watching a person? Shero, they happen to notice, be'echad sharak sanefesh, Reuben kills Shimon. and there were, you know, other people there. And we know that two brothers, since they're relatives, they cannot serve as witnesses together on the same team. Do you mean to say just because there happen to be two brothers standing there, so nobody can come and testify about this incident? Their presence disqualifies everybody? Hard to believe, right? Says Rebbe, it's hard to believe. Apparently, this concept of partial disqualification affecting everybody is strictly were they intended as presenting as witnesses. And how do we determine that? So the Mishnah says, because we see if they got involved, that they offered a warning, they did the hasra, which indicates that they're active players, they're witnesses. Otherwise, if they're merely innocent bystanders observing a scene, then they don't affect everybody else. Meaning, as long as we have two kosher witnesses, you know, one of the brothers with a stranger together, they can go and offer testimony, and the other brother doesn't affect them. Okay, now back to the Mishnah, where we compared a three-member team to a two-member team regarding many halachis. One is regarding the most recent point that if one turns out to be disqualified, he affects the rest of the team. Another point was regarding becoming Edim Zoymimin. That's only true if the entire team becomes Edim Zoymimin. You can't just single out one member, you're an Eid Zoymim, and forget the rest. It's one entity. Amarava. That's only true of who? That's true if Shehi'idu Kulam B'Terke De'Dibur. It's only when the various witnesses followed each other in close proximity. Kedibur is the time it takes to ask, to greet somebody, right? Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So that lapse of time, within that lapse of time, is considered the same experience. So if Reuven offered his testimony, and as soon as he was done, immediately Shimon gets up. Within that lapse of time, within those, you know, 2-3 seconds, he starts his narration. Then we connect them. Then they're one entity. Amalei Rab Acham Adifti Rabina. And so on and so forth, up to, you know, 100 Edim. It has to be within this lapse of time. So you ask Rabina, what do you mean? It's merely 3 seconds. How could you have 100 testimonies taking place within 3 seconds? Michti, take a look. Toich Kdei Dibur Hechidami. How long is that? Kadesh Elas Tamad L'Rav, as long as it takes for a student to greet his master, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, right? We're speaking about 100 people offering testimony. Meya, 100 tu v'havu, takes way longer. Amarlei, no. Kol chad v'chad b'teich k'dei dibur shel chaveri. I didn't mean all 100 have to cram it in within 3 seconds. They can speak their mind at ease, deliberately. No rush. The point is that the gap, the space gap between the silent moment between the Eidus, between the narration, shouldn't eclipse Terke De Dibur. So Reuben gets up, offers his testimony at leisure, sits down. Within 3 seconds, Levi Shimon gets up and starts his. When he's done, within 3 seconds, right, and so on and so forth. That connects them all, turns it into one offering of testimony, which makes them one team, one entity, and interdependent upon each other. Rabbi Akiva Omer Loi Ba Shlishi Umashnayim. And the Gemara continued, the Mishnah continued there with Rabbi Yosi, that it's strictly to Dinei Nefashos. Right? This idea that one puzzle affects the rest, right? And Rabbi says, well, actually, it pertains to Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mamonos, but provided they all presented as Edim. How do we know? We'll see it. We see if they got involved, that they were involved in the Hasra process. Then you're an inseparable part of the team. Okay? So in summation, Rabbi Yosi says it's limited to Dinei Nefashos. And according to him, whether you got involved, whether you were warning the person, that's not relevant. You were there, you're part of it. Rebbe goes the other way. You have to be an active player to be considered part of the team. And on the other hand, he said it's not limited to Dini Nefashos, it applies universally. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no condition of involvement. You don't have to be actually be involved. Even if you didn't issue a hasra, if you were there, you witnessed the scene, and you're a disqualified aide, right? You're a karev, you're a relative to the parties involved or whatever, then everything becomes bottle. That's going to generate a very ironic situation, which makes it basically impractical to ever offer testimony. Why? Let's see. Amalei Rav Papa Labai Elimi'ata. If so, Harug Yatzel. So there's testimony that Levi killed Yehuda. Fine. Now, Yehuda, the victim, theoretically, right? He couldn't offer testimony. I mean, practically, he's not around, but theoretically, he wouldn't be qualified because he's a relative. To whom? He's a karev to whom? To himself. Right? He was a player. He was a party to the play, to the equation. So he can't even theoretically offer testimony about the story because he's a karev to himself. But the fact of the matter is, he witnessed himself getting murdered, right? He saw the person coming and killing him. So at that very moment, he was a legal aide, a legal witness. And since he's a karev to himself, that disqualifies him from offering testimony. So his presence, his part in the play, disqualifies everybody around him as well. It's all one team. So nobody could testify about the story. Elamiata, if merely being present without active involvement and warning, all that's not required. Just being present makes you a player, inseparable from the bunch. Harug Yatzel, so the victim can save the day. He can save his murderer from getting punished by the Beis Din. We can't have any testimony about this story. So how do you ever kill a murderer? Because Harug Machayr, he killed him from behind. He didn't see the murderer coming. That would be the only case. Nearby Yatzel, what if he was physically accosted by this, immorally accosted, so then the same story. Yatzel, he should save the perpetrator because his presence disqualifies everything. Rav Machir, if he did it from behind. Hayrig v'Ravei Yatzel, what about the murderer himself, Levi himself, the perpetrator, or the Reveya? Their presence, as relatives, so to speak, themselves, so disqualify everybody else. Yatzilu, Ishtik, so you remain silent. Abai was sort of stumped. What's the... how do you get around this problem? He also committed Rava. Oh, Rav Papa approached Rava with the same question. And he came up with an answer. The actual parties involved in the incident cannot be counted in, cannot be factored in as part of the witness team. You know why? Amrali, he said, take a look at the pasuk again. Al bishnei edim, oy al bishlosh edim, yokum dover. And we learn b'mekayme dover. Those who are upholding, those who are establishing the facts, relating the episode, not the actual players themselves. The witnesses to the act. Hakasur medaber, that's the point of the pasuk. Only those play a role. Only those are factors at play. And therefore, we could just ignore the perpetrator or the victim. Amar Rabbi Yosi, b'medvam amar, dini nefashos is right, and Rabbi disagrees, it applies to dini mamonos as well, but provided you indicated that you had an interest in witnessing the scene and establishing yourself as a victim, as a witness. Mayasur shnei achim. Heichem rimu lo. So going to Rabbi, how do we determine they had an interest in establishing themselves as witnesses, or they were just innocent bystanders? Amar Rav Hachi Amrinu, we asked them, Lumechsi Asisu, when you came to see the thing, were you just coming out of curiosity? In which case, we don't have to factor you in as witnesses. Oylas Udi Asisu, were you there to witness the scene, and subsequently related to the Beis Din. I amri lasudi osi. Oh, so if they say they came to witness, in that case, we have to factor them in. Nimtza echad nimkar epasul. It doesn't betail. It turns out one of them was a relative or disqualified from some other reason. Then all members of that witness team are disqualified as well. It's one entity. The amri la mechsi osu. If they concede it just came out of curiosity, then we related to that story in the Mishnah, the two brothers. Mayasr shnei achen shiro be'echad. Sherog sanefesh, two brothers happen to see, it doesn't matter. So how do we rule, how do we paskin in this machlekes? Rabbi Yisi says, it's limited to dinin nefashos. Rabbi says, it applies to dinin mamonos as well, provided you showed interest in the story, interest to present as an aid. Rabbi Yisi does not require that factor. By the way, it sounds from the Gemara that even if they didn't actually offer hasra, you see, the Mishnah speaks about hasra. Did they actually warn the person? That would show that you're interested. The Gemara, it sounds like it's not necessarily dependent upon that. That's just sort of an indication. It's an indicator. You do hasra, apparently you're involved, you're witnessing. But even without the hasra, if they can see that they came as witnesses, that they came to watch, to observe, in order to relate it to the Beis Din, that's also considered edus. Itma Ravida Mishmol, Rabbi Yosi, Basan Rabbi Yosi. It's limited to dini nefashos, and hasra is not a factor. Rabbi Nachman Amar Lach Karevi, the other way around, applies to all cases, provided the intention was to witness it as a witness. It says the Mishnah, Yishnaim Roin Oysa Michalim Zeh. So we have a person doing something, killing somebody, and there are two windows through which you can see the scene. We have Reuben and Shimon, two witnesses standing and watching out of this window, v'shnayim roi noisim mechalon zeh, Shimon and Levi and Yehuda looking out through the other window. V'echad masrei be'emtza, there is somebody down there, you know, standing next to the murderer and warning him against doing it. V'zman shemektsosin roi nes elu es elu, hare elu edus achas. So the question is, these two pairs of witnesses, are they considered one team, inseparable from each other? In which case, if you want to do hazama, it has to apply to all of them, you can't separate them, etc., etc. So it depends if they can see each other. Even if a portion of this team can see the other members, so let's say Reuven can see Levi, that connects Reuven and Shimon with Levi and Yehuda. It's one team. If part of this group can visually connect with a part of the other group, we treat them as one team. Otherwise, they can't see each other. They only see the victim, the scene unfolding beneath them. We treat them as two separate teams. Now, if so, that is two separate teams, we can have an ironic situation where the perpetrator down there, the murderer, will get killed for what he did, and one of the pairs of Adam can get killed as well. Which sounds like an irony, because either it happened or it didn't happen, right? Suppose Reuben and Shimon were discovered as fabricators, making up the story. They weren't even there. What's going to happen? So since they were trying to impose death upon the alleged perpetrator, they get killed. But the perpetrator will get killed as well. Why? Due to the standing testimony, unrefuted testimony offered by Levi and Yehuda. So the story could have happened, but you were still fabricators. So both get killed. Reuven and Shimon get killed, and so does the perpetrator. Who? The perpetrator gets killed, and Reuven and Shimon get killed as well. But Levi and Yehuda, of course, are potter. They're presumed to be legitimate witnesses. Rabbi Yisi Omer, here's a new halacha regarding hasra. The Torah requires that we warn a perpetrator prior to his act. Don't dare do that, lest you be liable to certain punishments and all kinds of consequences. He holds an interesting halacha that the hasra must be conveyed by the witnesses to the perpetrator. Shnema alpi has to be verbalized by the shnayim edim, by the edim themselves. Another pshat in this pasuk, another halacha that we learn from this pasuk, alpi shnei edim, shnayim edim. that the Bezdin, the court, must hear the testimony directly. The judges must comprehend, must understand the language being spoken by the Edom, rather than through an interpreter. Edus Mechedes means separate witnesses. So you have Reuben and Shimon, witnesses to a crime. And Reuben and Shimon are not really seeing each other as it's unfolding. Reuben is looking out from this window, Shimon from the other window. And they're not Royin Zezeh, so they're not really connecting to each other. But ultimately, they're joining forces to present a story. That's called Edus Miuchedes. Sheib Sula, you can't accept it. Shenemar Lo Yumas Al Pi Eidechad. You cannot apply death penalty based on testimony of one witness. Now, what does that mean, one witness? Maya Echad. Ilem Eid Echad Mamish. Literally one aid, that's all you have? Well, of course, you can't. Meiresha Shaminila. We know that from the first part of the Pasuk. Al Pi Shnayim Eidim. A minimum of two. So why does the Torah have to repeat, don't accept a single witness? Ela my echad, what does echad mean? Echad, echad, one and one. You can't combine one from here, one from there. They must have seen each other, they have to join forces initially and see it together. Tanya, how can we find the same in a braisa? Lo yumas al pied echad teaches us lahavi to include a case of shnayim, two individuals who watched from separate locations. But they haven't noticed each other as it was happening. You cannot combine them. Furthermore, say Reuben and Shimon, right? Reuben watched the first half of the story and he vacated the window, making room for Shimon, who viewed out through the same window and notice the same story. You can't combine them because not watching it at the same time. How is that practical? Now obviously he missed the story. Look, you tell me the first case where Reuben and Shimon were both witness to the entire crime, but since they were watching from different locations, right, it doesn't work. Despite Reuben watching the whole story. And Shimon watching the whole story. Amrus, let me stop. You tell me you can't combine. Certainly in the second case, where they're following each other, taking turns, viewing out the same window, the high chazi palga the mas, where Reuben only witnessed half the crime. And Shimon only half. Needless to say, what's the point of even discussing it? They didn't see the whole story. Amrus, must be speaking. But even though they only saw half the story, that's sufficient to incriminate this person, such as in the case where they're testifying about being involved physically as married with an erva. So whichever component they were witness to would be enough. Amar Rav, imhayu royin es hamasra, oy hamasra royin oysan mitzdarfen. Let's go back to the halacha of edus miyuchedes. They're watching from different locations. And they don't see each other. But there is a factor that's tying them together. There is another individual down below who's warning the perpetrator. And they see him. They can both see him. Or that fellow can see them. That would be sufficient to combine them into one entity. V'amar Rava, Maser she'amru afilu mipi atzmei, v'apilu mipi asheid. When we speak about needing to issue a hasra, according to Rava, it can come from anybody. It doesn't have to come from the Edom. That's Rabbi Yosi's shita. But Tanakama hold, Hamol, that's not required. Even the victim himself can turn around and warn his murderer, what are you doing? Even if you have a demon, as long as that information is conveyed to the perpetrator, that's sufficient to constitute hasra. Omar Rav Nachman, even though we speak about edus miyuchedes, not qualifying for dinei nefashais, but it is kshera b'dinei mamonis, regarding monetary issues, you can accept this sort of split testimony. It's a stipulation regarding death penalty issues. When it comes to other types of litigations, you can combine two edim, although they didn't see each other as the episode was unfolding. So Rav Zutra comes to an interesting question. If that's the case, if that's true, that regarding certain cases, we can combine these separate people into one team. Even regarding death penalty issues, we can't really combine them and use them to prosecute the this person. But at the same time, Tatzel, you can save him. How? So Rashi explains, suppose you have two windows. You have a couple of people, this window, another team at this window, witnessing a murder scene. Now, one group became Edom Zayimim. Right? So if we treat them as two separate teams, so they're Edom Zayimim, but as we had, the story in the Mishnah, the fellow still will be killed because of the on account of the testimony offered by the other team coming out of the other window. However, says Mar Zutra, since there's some sort of connectivity between both teams, between both groups, as per their ability to join forces regarding Dine Mamunas, they're treated as one joint entity. So likewise, by Dine Nefashis, to a certain extent, there's a jointness. In which case, if one group becomes Edom Zayimim, on the one hand, we should say, well, no, they're not Edom Zayimim because, they're not going to get killed because they're Edom Zayimim. No, because in order to make Hazama, the whole entire team has to become Edom Zayimim. In this case, only part of the team became Edom Zayimim. Because with respect to this, we'll just view them as part of the rest of the we'll view both groups as part of one team, as two parts of the same team. On the other hand, says Rashi, the perpetrator won't get killed either because, again, since we look at both groups as part of the same team, if part of that team became disqualified, it's like the halacha we had in the Mishnah, Nimtza Echad Mem Karav Epasel, if one member of the team is disqualified, it affects the rest. So everybody gets off scot-free. And this is specific to Dinin Nefashis. You know why? Rachman Amar Veitzilu Eida, says Rashi. We always seek for mitigating factors. We look to exonerate him. We try to find any sort of element of zechus, of advocacy, to try to disqualify and save these people. So you're right, again, regarding straightforward halacha of dinei nefashos, you can't. You can't take a person from this window, person from the other window, join them, and incriminate somebody. But since regarding dinei mamonos, it does work. Apparently, there is an element of connectivity between both parties. So use that, apply it to a certain extent regarding dinei nefashos, if it serves to save somebody. Alam atanan. So why, if you look in the Mishnah, we see otherwise. We see that we don't do that. Mishnah brought this very case. People from two different windows, right? A group here, a group here. Turns out one group became Edom Zayimim, they get killed, and so does the perpetrator on account of the testimony offered by the other group, who are still, deemed to be credible. Alam Atanan, so why does Mishnah say who, the perpetrator of Ahain, and the team that became Edom Zayimim, Nehrog, they all get killed? Kasha, we leave it as a Kasha, unresolved question. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, he says we have to insist that the Asra is issued by the witnesses themselves. Is that true? They're going to Rabbi Yossi. We even have to do this Hasra at all? According to Rabbi Yossi, Hasra is not even a requirement in all cases. It's just sort of a way to determine that he did it willingly. They did it purposely, intentionally. But now we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Asoine. Nerag, a person is known to be an enemy, and he killed his enemy, right? And he claims he did it unintentionally. We don't accept it. We kill him. Nehrag mipnei shehu kemuad musrik. he's considered to have done it knowingly, intentionally, as though he was forewarned. We assume, right, based on his track record, on his negative regard to his victim, that he did it purposely. Even though there was no formal hasra'ah, doesn't matter. And who's speaking? Rabbi Yossi. Apparently it's not a requirement. Amalei, so he says, no, actually it's a different Rabbi Yossi. Ahu, that Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi bar Yehudahi. A different town of the son of Rabbi Yossi bar Omer. Hasra'ah is not a requirement, it's just sort of a determination to determine intent. In fact, a chaver, a learned person, a Talmud Chacham, ain't tzarich hasra'ah. You don't have to warn him. He knows the facts, he's educated, there's no point in telling him, teaching him. The whole point of Asra is only Allahafkan to determine, to see whether he knows what he's doing or not, whether he's informed or uninformed. But if he's an informed person, it's unnecessary to actually warn him. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda, consistent with the story of the Sinai. Again, he's known to be doing it intentionally, but quote Rabbi Yehuda, a formal warning is required. In fact, it has to be issued by the Edom specifically. Another point learned from the Pasuk directly without an interpreter. Al Pishnaim Edom Shloite Sanhedrin Shemas Pia Maturga Turgimon. The Edom have to understand, the Sanhedrin has to understand the language firsthand. Hanulu Uzi. In fact, there was a story about these foreigners, these people who spoke a foreign language. The Asl came to Rava. So these Edom come to Rava, to his Bezdin. Oiki Rava Turgimon Benayu. So Rava summoned the interpreter to relay their words. How could he do that? But now we have a Mishnah. Shloite Sanhedrin Shemas. You can't hear me, Piyam Turgman. The answer is, Rabba Midda Hava Yadam Ay Dava Amri. You know, sometimes you can understand without speaking. He understood their language. Vaduru Deloy Hava Yadam, he didn't have the ability to respond, to speak the language. And that was the purpose of inviting an interpreter. There was a story regarding Eloah and a fellow named Vituvia. So Eloah and Tuvia were actually Edim. And that Reuven lent Shimon $1 million. Now, these Edim were not relatives to either party, to Reuben or Shimon. But they were Krevei de Arva Hava. They were relatives to Levi, who signed on as a guarantor, the co-signer, to this loan. So Rapapa figured, big deal. Gabi Levi Amal v'Ruchikininu. They're not relatives to the main players, to the main parties, the borrower and the lender, and therefore they're okay. Amal Rafun v'Ruchikininu Rapapa, no, you can't accept their testimony. They still have an interest. And they're disqualified. Because look, he last lay la loive. Imagine the loive, Shimon, can't come up with the funds, right? Who's Reuben going to haunt? He's going to collect from Levi, the Arev, right? Lav basar arva azel, malva. Isn't the malva going to go seek the Arev and collect from him? So their testimony to the fact that Shimon owes money to Reuven, really, in a roundabout way, benefits their relative, Levi. Spares him of having to back up this loan, having to pay up this unpaid loan. They're deemed to have an interest, and therefore, their status is disqualified. So being a karev to any player, even the arev, makes you puzzle aidus. Okay, speaking about karev being puzzle aidus, what if you have a team of aidim and one member is a karev apostle? We learn from the pasuk al b'shnayim aidim ashleishim aidim that irrespective of how big the team is, one member disqualifies them all. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's only by dinei nefashos because of a beitzilu aida. According to Rabbi, even dinei mamnas, provided you presented yourself as a formal witness, i.e., you offered a warning, i.e., you came to watch it as a witness. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's not required. We have a shaila in the Gemara, how we paskin. Now, when we speak about Edom, who follow each other in the Bezdin, being considered one team, that's only if they spoke very close to each other, Toch Kedei Dibur, it makes them into one group. What if the individuals are watching from different windows? So if part of them are seeing each other, that's okay, that combines them. Otherwise, there's two separate Eduyos. And if one of them becomes a Zaymimin, it doesn't affect the other team, etc. We call that Edus Miyachedes, which is Kosher for Dine Mominus, but not for Dine Nefashoi, since it's from my Pasuk. L'yumas al-Piyed Echot, individual members cannot be joined together. The Gemara does say that the fellow offering the Hasra down below can join them, meaning if he notices them or they notice him, that's enough to combine them into one entity. And regarding Hasra, Chacham say anybody could do the Hasra, even a shade. Rabbi Yisrael says only the Edom are allowed to do that. They have to convey the Hasra. And interesting Shita, Rabbi Yisrael Reuda says, well, Hasra is not even always required. If there's any other way to determine intent. We learned another halacha, Al Pishnai Edom, that there must be direct communication, direct understanding between the Edom and the Sanhedrin. In fact, we have a story of Rava, who only appointed a Turgamon to help with the communication, but of course he understood what they were saying. And we had a halach at the end regarding Kerovim, who cannot be involved, even if their kurva is limited to the Arev on that loan. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah to you.